Happy Friday, everybody. This is Rocky Schneider and Rocky's Downtown Hour. It's our last show of February, and so we're looking ahead to springtime and what that means for getting outdoors and enjoying people in our community again. You get to see people again that maybe you haven't seen in a while. I know we have a big event coming up, the St. Patrick's Day Parade on March 14th, and looking forward to that. It's one of those kind of first events of spring where you get a couple thousand people outside and maybe run into people you haven't seen in a while, meet some new people. It's a good chance for new people to town to get out to and kind of experience sort of the best of community events. Mark your calendars, March 14th at 11 a.m. Come on downtown. And if you're one of those type of people, we're actually coordinating with a run prior to the parade too this year. I think we used to do that a number of years ago, and it's one of those things that got lost during COVID. But James Botnan, who's a former guest on the show, is putting together a 5K and a 10K. They expect a couple hundred people to be in it. And it's actually going to use the parade route before the parade starts. So I think the race is at 10:30, just half an hour before the parade. So those people come down early for the parade, get to watch all the runners and cheer them on as well. But that should be fun to have a couple hundred people run through downtown because we already have the roads closed and everything. So they'll do that and then run along the trails a little bit along the river too and wrap back around over into Moorhead. So if you're interested in doing a 5K or a 10K before the parade or before you go celebrate St. Patrick's Day, however you celebrate, it's good to get a workout in. You feel better about yourself later if you've had too many, that at least you got to run in earlier. So yeah, sign up every run day events. If you just Google that or Google the St. Patrick's Day run in Fargo and Moorhead, you should pop right up. But yeah, we also have some open float spots too for the St. Patrick's Day parade. We usually get about 50 floats in that, but if you're a community group, if you got a sports team, a school team, if you got a radio station that wants to sign up, anybody listening out there that has a radio station that wants to be in a parade, they should sign up. There we go. Got some look backs at me. That's good. But yeah, we should have some signups out there. But really, if you have a company out there that has any sort of wrapped pickup car, it's a good time, fun to come down, throw out some candy. You'll see, you know, hundreds or thousands of smiling faces back at you and just make their day. It's a good free event for families to come out and just kind of have some fun. It looks like amazing weather, too. We've been blessed this spring. And so looking ahead at the forecast, we see that above freezing. Other than tomorrow, I think it's above freezing almost every day. It doesn't look like there's snow in the near future. So should be nice, clear roads and sidewalks and hopefully a nice day. I know some of these parades in the spring have been blizzardy and others I've been wearing shorts. So it's always hit and miss in March in Fargo for sure. But this one looks going to be lovely. So sign up, mark your calendars, however you want to do that. Another thing I want to touch on is I had a editorial in the Fargo Forum earlier this week, and the Forum wrote an editorial too about the city's public safety survey. And first, I just want to say it's great that the city is doing this. I had worked with some previous cities that do an annual survey of its residents, and it's really a great thing to look across the board at not just safety, but all the amenities. How is fire? How does the streets clearing? All those things. But surveys are great because they give you a great snapshot in time that if you do that same survey and same format, you know, same demographic year after year, you can start to see the trends. Because sometimes the results themselves don't show you as much as the trend does. Are we doing better than we were the year before? But one of the things that was touched on in there is obviously safety, and that's a major topic on our show and in the community. We want everybody to feel safe, and we go out of our way with working with the police and others to try to get that feeling of safety. And we know during our events, you know, we had hundreds of thousands of people last year at our events and not one single incident, which we were pretty proud of last year and want people to feel that every day, and how they feel about coming downtown should feel that way. And the survey across the city, I think, was okay. I think we all feel pretty safe in Fargo, but there's obviously issues to work on. 61% said they felt most or completely safe. I think that's a pretty good number. I think it could be higher, but obviously that's could be a lot lower, you know? And so I think we're happy with that. But I think what we need to look at is, okay, 39% of the people are saying they don't feel safe. That's concerning to me. Let's talk about that. And I think those surveys help us dig a little deeper. And I think the city presentation they did on it was just the initial look at it, let the information out there. And there's always follow-up questions. And so we asked follow-up questions. I know the forum asked follow-up questions. Got some of those because they did ask, where do you feel unsafe in the city if you feel unsafe? And I think like 38% of people said they actually listed a location where they feel unsafe. And those that, you know, the 38% that responded you know, over half of those they mentioned somewhere adjacent to downtown. And so that's something we take seriously. And I think we can dig into it a little bit more on the demographics. Okay, is that people in South Fargo feeling unsafe? Is it men? Is it women? Is it elderly? And looking at sort of the initial report out, it's generally the older population that feels more unsafe than the younger population. But also it's people that live closer to downtown feel safer about downtown than people feel farther away. And so I think that's a lot to ask ourselves, and how do we manage that? How do we address that? And I think there's a few things we're doing that are underway at the city this last year, but we know behaviors and actions take a while to change. And so we have a lot of good things in the works. The engagement center is moving out of downtown here in the next month or two. That should change a lot of sort of, you know, migration patterns where people are lingering and loitering and creating that kind of unsettling feeling that people feel, I think, right now. Also should provide better services. And so it should be a win-win for that community, but we also have to do more work with our police officers and just engagement and visibility. And I know they're working on that and they've been a great partner, but those things need consistency and they need the people to show up again, right? If you had a bad experience at a restaurant, at an event in a downtown, in a neighborhood, it takes you a while to get back there again to change those perceptions. So we got some work to do. It's going to take a while. But I think the right things are in motion, and I'm just blessed that our events are still sold out and people come down to downtown when they have friends, when they go out, when they celebrate, when there's an event in town. That's what downtown's used for. That's where people show up. That's where tourism goes. I know that the Visit Fargo Moorhead group had their annual meeting. That's our tourist entity for the whole region. And they said the number one spot tourists go when they come to Fargo Moorhead is to downtown. It was like 35% of all tourists go downtown. That was the highest ranking on there for any individual place, and we're pretty happy about that. So we need to protect that because tourism is a huge economic driver, and it's all outside money. I think when people don't really always realize that, when you choose out where to go to eat, if you're local, it's like you're going to spend that somewhere, and so it's kind of in a vacuum. But tourist dollars are all new dollars to the community that get passed around. So we got to keep shooting for that and keep improving our experience, our customer experience for everybody. And I know one place that provides a great customer experience, and so I had him on the show, John Ackley. He's the proprietor at Noble Smokehouse downtown. If you haven't been there, it's an amazing smokehouse. But we're going to talk to him this show and coming up about what makes his place different and how he loves downtown. So when we come back, we'll have John Ackley on with us from Noble. Welcome back to Rocky's Downtown Hour, joined by John Ackley with Noble Smokehouse. John, welcome to the studio.
Hey, Rocky. Great to be here with you.
So give us an overview of Noble. If somebody hasn't ever been there, what is Noble and what's the vibe?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a barbecue restaurant in downtown Fargo. We got brisket, ribs, smoked chicken, a lot of kind of classic sides like baked beans, mac and cheese, sweet corn casserole, and in a kind of a very like, you know, Texas and in Austin kind of inspired in interior. So
yeah, what I always like about smokehouses is the story about the cooking, I always feel, stands out more than a lot of restaurants. A lot of restaurants, either about the environment or about the plating. Not that you guys are not into those, but it's like cooking forward. Like you're very passionate about the wood you use and the process you go through and all the things you want from a good smoked place.
Oh, thank you, Rocky. I appreciate that.
And I liked on your website, you talked about the difference between Southern barbecue and Northern barbecue. And I don't think I've read it that way before. And so explain what's Northern barbecue? Why is that different?
Yeah, you know, well, barbecue is all about, you know, using what you have available and, you know, adding value to it. You know, and that's, I think, really, you know, indicative of the mindset of people, you know, who settled here in the first place, you know, and one of the reasons why people from Norway stayed in Minnesota is because they knew that no matter how cold the winters get, as long as there's enough wood to burn, you know, in their homes or in a sauna or, you know, for cooking, you know, they could survive even if it is 40 below, you know, no need to go to a desert or a place that's unfamiliar. So, and what was available was oak. You know, oak is really, is a slow burning wood, slow growing and, you know, just is a pretty neutral flavor, you know, so you can have a lot more versatility when it comes to the actual like seasoning of the meat and cooking.
And so what I like about your menu too is kind of what you expect from a smokehouse is, you know, you have ribs and things like that, but smokehouses always have the biggest menus, I feel like, too. It's like you can get any kind of meat you can think of smoked and brought out to you. And so it's like my wife is somebody that doesn't like to eat things off a bone, mm-hmm. which I think is maybe a common common thing that you deal with. Definitely. But there's other stuff there. You have pulled pork and all the goodies. So anything you want, you could probably find there if it's a smokehouse.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and a lot of, you know, traditional smokehouses, you know, whether it was Texas or, you know, in the Carolinas or Tennessee, was limited to, you know, again, what was available. So, you know, there weren't, you know, the, you know, pastures to raise cattle in Tennessee in the 1920s. So there weren't, you know, there wasn't brisket in a lot of those barbecue restaurants, and there weren't, you know, pig farms in Texas, but there were cattle ranches, you know, so brisket, you know, is from Texas, and it would be, you know, you'd be pretty hard pressed, you know, 75 years ago, even now, to find, you know, more of a pork-focused barbecue restaurant in Texas. It's always going to be more, you know, cattle or more brisket-focused. So, you know, in the Midwest, especially, you know, in the northern, you know, plains up here, you know, we do have the luxury of being able to raise, you know, most anything, you know, effectively and, you know, locally. So, you know, we have the luxury of, you know, having, obviously, you know, supply chains help out with that too, of course, but, you know, we have the luxury of, you know, having a tradition of, you know, raising and cooking any kind of animal, you know, because we had the land and the resources available. You know, we're you know, if you're born and raised up here, you know, you may not think of how, you know, unique that is, you know, but, you know, of our environment being suited to raising chickens and, you know, cattle and pigs and any kind of livestock.
Yeah, the promo before the previous show, I was talking about, you know, I like smokehouses because sometimes if you go too late and you want something, it might be gone if it was popular. And while, you know, I think in this day and age, you expect to go somewhere and have anything you want on the menu, but also you want it to be fresh. You know, you're not absolutely just going back to the freezer and popping in the microwave something. It's like, if it's gone, it's because it's good. And you guys do your best, obviously, to ration that out, but it's not an unlimited amount of food because it's easy to make.
Absolutely. No, and I think that's a lot of people's, you know, or a big concern of a lot of people when they're going out to eat nowadays, you know, is, am I just going to be getting something that's frozen, you know, that they, you know, defrosted the day before and then throwing into a fryer, you know, and if that's the case, well, then I'm just going to make that myself at home, you know, so, right. You know, knowing that, you know, everything that you're eating is fresh and made, you know, and made daily and made, you know, to a level that, you know, and that it can't, you know, just be, you know, available 24 hours or available, you know, around the clock at the same level of quality, you know, and, I think that people, I think that that's something that's a really big value proposition for people, and why, you know, a restaurant like ours, or a restaurant that, you know, is making, you know, ingredients in-house every day, you know, say somewhere like Spaghetti Western downtown as well, you know, for their pastas, you know, that's something that's really a driver for people, I think, is knowing that, you know, there's a confirmation that they're going to get a true, authentically crafted experience, not something that can just be replicated easily at home or replicated anyway at home.
And like any good barbecue joint or smokehouse, it goes beyond the meat. You're passionate about your sides. So your cornbreads and, you know, anything else you have. But like what do you serve as sides that you're passionate about that makes you unique and you put some extra love into?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my grandma's potato salad is on the menu. You know, she's from Wisconsin, so it's more of a mayo-based potato salad. You know, so that's something that, you know, may be different from, you know, a Texas barbecue restaurant. So
not raisins in the potato salad?
No raisins in the potato salad, no. So, yeah, it's fun to, you know, again, incorporate, you know, the ability to incorporate family recipes onto you know, a restaurant's menu is a really, you know, unique thing and something that, you know, you know, definitely don't want to take that for granted, so.
So beyond dinner, you guys transition into a bar, like a lot of places downtown as well, where it's a little more nighttime focused than it is dinner focused too, and you have a late menu. And how does that transition work, and how do you lean into that too?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're family friendly, and you have a full menu from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Full menu until 10 p.m. on the weekends, and then from 10 p.m. until, you know, close on Fridays and Saturdays, we do, you know, 2-for-1s on all, you know, taps, shots, drinks, you know, Long Islands, anything, you know, so. Have a great, you know, college, you know, atmosphere in there, and great college clientele as well. So, really, you know, it's fun to see the environment in there, you know, shift from being, you know, a very, like, you know, food and family, you know, centric experience, you know, during the day and, you know, during the evenings on the weekends and weekdays, to, you know, a place where, you know, college kids can, you know, make some memories, you know, when they're, you know, going downtown and make downtown some place that, you know, they relate to, you know, extremely positively, you know, because, you know, seeing, I was downtown, you know, during COVID, and, you know, seeing what happens, you know, when people don't even have the opportunity to make a lot of those memories and have a lot of those experiences, I think that it really is valuable for people to, you know, to go out and be a part of something. And I think something that people, you know, crave increasingly. Yeah. So,
and that's, I mean, that's really what's great about downtown too, is every hour is sort of a different audience or a different feel downtown. Mm-hmm. And but your late night menu too, is it kind of shows that downtown you could maybe be out for a drink somewhere else, you know, staying after work, or you had dinner somewhere else and you're walking around and you can go from one place to the next. You don't have to get back in your car, and maybe you're still hungry and you can go out for some late night cheese curds or chicken fingers or tenders, or are they fingers or tenders?
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, we'll call them tenders. Yeah.
Okay. We'll call them tenders. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I feel like that's better. Nobody wants to eat fingers.
Right. Exactly.
Tenders. That's good. But yeah,
I've never seen a chicken with fingers unless, something went horribly wrong there.
But yeah. So, I mean, I just like that, 'cause it's, you can pop around, right? You don't have to stay in the same spot. It's not, downtown's nice that way, 'cause you're not committed to one spot necessarily, unless you want to be.
Absolutely. You know, and I think, if you're going out to eat in South Fargo, West Fargo, I mean, not to say there aren't great options in those areas, but you know, how difficult is it to make, you know, going out to eat and, somewhere like that an experience, you know, when you do have to, you know, park, drive, you know, and you know, kind of the barrier to entry is so much higher, you know, when you have to craft an itinerary on all of these kind of isolated locations. Where downtown, you know, there's so many opportunities for spontaneous connection. You know, I mean, how many times have we run into each other at a coffee shop or, you know, out to eat, and, you know, and you know, that sparks a conversation, you know, and it's and even the opportunities for those quick connections, you know, and are something that, you know, I think is you know, really special about downtown and the downtown experience.
Yeah. I think people in other, you know, the chamber exists to kind of help people network, right? Mm-hmm. And it's because that we need places like that to sort of have networking events, because they don't naturally do it. But in downtown, I feel like networking is just your day-to-day life in downtown, where you walk outside and you may run into people that maybe you end up working with in the future, or hiring in the future, or hiring you in the future. Mm-hmm. And it's like you build your network so naturally when you're in a downtown, because you're just intermixed and closer. But one of the things I wanted to touch on, because people always bring up parking downtown, and right across the street from Noble is a brand new MP Avenue parking mm-hmm. garage. And it's high tech, secured, you know, weatherproof.
Really safe as well.
Safe, you know, all these things. And, you know, it's not fully utilized yet because it's brand new. But if anybody's looking to park, you know, that's closer than if you had to park at West Acres and go into Crave, for instance. It's a lot closer than, you know, most parking lots are to the front door of the restaurants. And so if you're looking for a new experience, try the MP Avenue garage. You know, I'm hoping people try it out for our parade and then come back and get used to it. And I think we're slowly starting to see people start to get used to it and starting to fill up more. But that's going to be fun. It's still a little under construction look. So you'll see that when the Fargo-Moorhead Community Theater goes in across the street as mm-hmm. well. So it'd be a new vibe for MP Avenue and kind of bolster that up.
Absolutely. You know, and it's free after 5 p.m. during the week and all day on Saturdays. You know, so, and I think, you know, people who are planning on coming down for the parade and, you know, wondering, oh, is there going to be parking? Am I going to have to park 4 blocks away? Am I going to have to park in a neighborhood? I mean, knowing that there's, you know, safe, covered, protected, free parking downtown, you know, for, you know, an event like this, I think is going to be a huge draw.
And so one thing we didn't mention, you know, talking with John from Noble Smokehouse, which is right on MP Avenue and Broadway. If you're looking to kind of geolocate where that's at, if you haven't been there, if you want to check it out, I think we should have our own rib contest in town. I know we do, you know, Happy Harry's has Rib Fest and it's very popular and they do a nice mm-hmm. job with it with concerts and everything. But how do we get a local, you know, contest between the different joints in town?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm always up for anything that, you know, really can showcase some of the talent that's in Fargo, you know, whether, you know, we get, whether the downtown burger battle that's going to be coming up here, you know, and seeing, you know, the fact that, you know, Sons of Norway has won that, you know, yeah. And a place that, you know, and, you know, burgers are certainly not, you know, first front and foremost on the menu there, you know. So I think it's really exciting, you know, any opportunity that we could get to showcase some of the, you know, the creativity that exists in Fargo.
Maybe we should do it live on air. Rocky's rib cookout.
And I think we have room in here for a nice
eat ribs all day.
Board in here, so
on air live cooking judging. I could get into this.
You know, I think a nice little transition into a little cooking hour. I think
that'd be fun.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so what's well when we come back, we're going to talk more about downtown and what you see for the future of downtown and what you just love about being down there as a restaurant and as a person.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
When we come back, we'll have more talk.
Thanks.
Welcome back. We have John with Noble Smokehouse in studio. It's a downtown barbecue joint right on MP Avenue and right off Broadway. If you haven't tried the best ribs in town,
you reckon?
The best everything in town. We'll just
appreciate
say.
That.
But I'll just say that one thing beyond the food is it's really unique in there. I mean, I think barbecue places always have some, you know, knick-knacky barbecue stuff, but you guys kind of go one more modern layer where it's like it's some quirky, modern-looking barbecue art.
Yeah, you know, it's a really unique spot. You know, there's a even my staff joke that there's something new they see in there every day. You know?
But it's about that experience, right?
Absolutely. You know, and it's the building we're in is 125 years old, and has been there since since really far it was
the Great Fire.
Absolutely. You know, so it's a it's a historic building, and it's just really it's a great spot to have an experience, I think.
And so that's really what downtown's all about, is having an experience that's different than a strip mall restaurant that might have great food, mm-hmm. but you lack that sort of experiential nature. And so, like we were talking about, it's like if you're eating ribs every day, you're probably not living the best life either. You need to have some variety. So when you go out other places downtown, give some love to somebody else doing something amazing downtown that you're passionate about as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that there's a, I think that that's one of the exciting things about, downtown, about, having a community, like downtown behind you, is that, that the, the variety is good for absolutely everyone. You know, again, no one wants to eat the same thing every single day. You know, so I think, Spaghetti Western, they're an operation that's really doing a great job, handmade pasta. And again, if there is, a bit of a bit of confirmation that you're going to have an authentic experience, it makes it so much easier to justify that and to really get excited for it, rather than, thinking like, oh man, am I just going to get something that's been prepared multiple days in advance, or, that wasn't even prepared by, prepared by someone in-house. So,
And you mentioned another restaurant too, but a food district doesn't work in isolation, right? It's mm-hmm. like when Fargo Theater has an event, restaurants are full. And when people come to a good restaurant, then they're probably also going shopping or going out for dessert or, and vice versa. So it's like it works together as a cultural district, entertainment district.
No, the barrier to entry for really having a full experience, going downtown, I mean, I think is makes downtown unique compared to anywhere else in Fargo. You can go to a show at the Fargo Theater and get dinner prior and get drinks afterwards, or you can go to the Plains Art Museum during the day, and go to Nicole's, another great operation who's really doing some incredible pastries, and just it's expanded into lunch and dinner, and then go and take a walk in Island Park and really have a full make an afternoon of going downtown, there's a or taking a trip down on the river walk and see some of the some of the nature that people may kind of rag on Fargo for not having it. It really is there if you look for it and you seek it out to experience it. And I think downtown does a great job of that. If you give it an opportunity to.
And I know in a couple of weeks we're gonna have somebody on to talk about the Island Park pool too, which is the most visited pool in the state and is brand mm-hmm. new. And so that's a fun way to get people downtown, and then they come out and explore, walk around and explore just a couple blocks away. But I think beyond that, we talked about tourism earlier on the show, and downtown's that number one tourist spot. And sometimes it's people here for work for a day, or they're actually visiting just to visit, but they pull up their phones and say, what should you do for a day? And sometimes if they're hungry, they pull up a random restaurant. Other times they pull up, a museum, and we got both downtown. And if you go to one, you probably end up going to the other as well, because it's right across, the street or two blocks away. But we have great museums, and the FMCT we talked about going in next door, the Plains Art Museum is just, two blocks down the road. Mm-hmm. And we have kids there every day. I know you do work with that. And so maybe talk about other activities that are beyond the nightlife.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and I think that that's something that, people may overlook with downtown. Of course, there's a lot of eating opportunities, and, obviously, it's the, if you're going to go out and drink, you're going to go out and drink downtown, but there is so much more to do than that. I mean, having a, the green space that we do with Island Park downtown is a really, unique thing, and I think that, living and working in Fargo, there's a lot of things that we may take for granted, that, like, for example, when you were, talking about some of the statistics in the Coffee and Coke Crawl earlier, of the 1,000 plus attendees, 40% of those people were outside the metro area, and this isn't just, the downtown area in Fargo isn't just something and an amenity for a place to have an experience for people from Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo. It's for people from Mapleton and from Lisbon and from, Western North Dakota and from, Western Minnesota and from East and, from all around the state, and it's, that's something that is really easy to overlook if you're around, day to day. So,
Yeah, I mean, I always say downtown, you know, my goal of downtown is for people to make memories there so they can relive them, want to come back, all those things. But yeah, for the Coffee and Cocoa Crawl, we had people drive in. You know, I was making fun of somebody because they checked in by themselves and they checked in their friends. And I kind of joked about them being late. And they're like, oh, but they're coming from 2.5 hours away. And I'm like, oh, that's great. You know, and it's like they made an intentional point that that's how they're going to spend their weekend. And they come downtown for a day. And we see people and you know, we've done our own polling as that's where people go when they bring friends to the area. So it's if you're bringing friends to, you mentioned Lisbon or Kindred or Mapleton, all these places, you go out, you end up going downtown because that's a unique experience unlike anywhere else in the region, right? Mm-hmm. We are a metro area for the entire region, not just, you know, there's not another metro for ours. And so it's not like you're competing like Minneapolis-St. Paul competes with each other as much as they, you know, vibe off each other. We don't have a competitor. We have to continue to build it because that's what we have. And so it's really everybody's downtown. It's not it's its own neighborhood in some regards, but it's really everybody's neighborhood.
Absolutely. No, and I think that the fact that it is a really, you know, it's not a zero sum game. It really, it's a better together situation, you know, is something that's, that not all communities have the luxury of having. And that's something that I think is really a plus for downtown and a plus for Fargo more in West Fargo.
And listen, like I love potato Olays at Taco John's, I'll just admit, but I also pride myself that we don't have a drive-through downtown. You know, there's not an Applebee's, there's not really a chain restaurant type thing. It's like these are local people with passion behind their boutiques or their restaurants, their art galleries. It's like all local North Dakotans, you know, hand making, providing stuff just for people's entertainment.
Absolutely, no, and I think that that's something that you know whether you know, you're going into you know Paradox or you're going into Nicole's or you're going into any restaurant downtown, you know, or a retail location, you know, I mean, you're very likely to find the proprietor, you know, on the floor or, you know, in the kitchen or, you know, talking with customers. It's, you know, very little of that is absenteeism or, you know, and being operated from states away or as a chain or, you know, as something that's, you know, not invested in the local community. You know, and I think that's a really special thing about downtown.
And what I love is just the pride too. I mean, you mentioned Paradox. They have they're starting a brand new comic book convention in April. I forget what the date it was now. I should find it. But in April, and they're just so excited to bring in some celebrity, you know, guy who created Spawn, the Spider-Man's villain, is coming. And he's just so excited to show off Fargo, his hometown, to him. You know, and you just don't see that in a lot of areas where your business is about making money. But our local business owners, it's about so much more than that. You're employing your neighbors. You're providing goods and services or food to your neighbors. And so there's so much more pride and honor and just in being able to do that. But you also take your reviews a lot more seriously, too. It's not anytime you get a review, it's like that's I always love the restaurant community because, like, you guys have the toughest jobs because one bad review can then hurt you, too, right? And so you want to be immediately responsive. And it's like if all of us that worked in offices every day had to get daily reviews that we had to respond to, we'd go crazy, you know? And so it's like, but you guys live in this social media world way before everyone else had a social media world because it's all word of mouth. It's all reviews. And it's about providing that customer experience and overall experience. And we had a meeting yesterday with about a dozen restaurateurs and just being able to work together, realizing we all share a customer base. And that same experience, same parking experience, same walking around experience. And I know for like my wife and I were going out on Saturday with some friends downtown. We don't know where we're going yet. We just know we're going to go out to dinner downtown somewhere. And like we're choosing between options. You know, it's not like we really wanted to go to the local chain restaurant. It's like we have options.
Absolutely. You know, and those plans could change spontaneously too. You know, you may be even walking to the restaurant and say, you know, actually, let's try this place right over here. I didn't know this place was even, you know, this may be brand new restaurant since the last time we were downtown, you know. So, and there's and nowhere else in town do you have even the possibility of that, you know. And then, again, who knows who you're going to run into if you, you know, belly up to the bar in one of those restaurants. You know, maybe someone that, you know, you used to work with or someone that you didn't know still lived in Fargo or someone that's visiting relatives who have moved back. And, you know, there's so much more potential for those, you know, those quick connections, you know, downtown that I think it's always kind of an exciting, you know, experience when you're.
Yeah, people ask me a lot about, you know, why open up a business in downtown versus elsewhere? And you sort of mentioned it, but it's shared marketing. I mean, so many of your customers are probably somebody else's customers that they attracted, you know, and vice versa. You know, they may be coming down for your restaurant, but then they go shop at a boutique, you know, type thing. Or the people that love the Nines will come shop at the Nines, but then they'll go to a coffee shop or they'll grab lunch somewhere. You know, and so it's like your marketing may be helping somebody else and vice versa. And that's just so rare in any other type of store.
Absolutely. You know, there's that huge ripple effect, you know, and that's, you know, that ripple effect is present, you know, on the private and the public, you know, it's a side of things, you know, that the city is renovating a road that, you know, services, you know, dozens of businesses, not a road that, you know, services one or two businesses, or that, you know, is not going to, you know, be, you know, at full capacity for 25 years and, you know, on a, you know, back road in South Fargo. You know, this is a road that, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of people are going to use on a daily basis, you know, and, you know, when someone, you know, rehabs a building in downtown Fargo or opens a business or, you know, creates, you know, an amenity or creates housing, you know, that's in line with, you know, the demographics of the area, you know, it's better for everyone. And that, you know, return on investment is, you know, it's felt by everyone, you know, so that's a really, another unique aspect of downtown that, you know, I think a lot of, that's really easy to overlook is, you know, that, you know, any kind of investment is going to, you know, be beneficial to absolutely everyone, you know, around you.
So we're talking with the proprietor of Noble right on MP Avenue at downtown Fargo. And in our last minute here, tell us again, for new audience that maybe just switched on, what is Noble and why should they experience that if they haven't?
Yeah, you know, Noble, we do barbecue, you know, with oak, all sourced from, you know, northern Minnesota. So it's all brisket, ribs, pulled pork, sausage, smoked chicken, and I think that, you know, barbecue is a very, you know, an experience meant to be shared, you know, so ordering a large platter of food and, you know, having a communal experience, you know, is something that, you know, is, you know, increasingly rare, but increasingly, I think, necessary in the world we're living in.
So. Okay, so last question, quick question for you. Cleaning your fingers after barbecue, do you suck them off or do you wipe it off?
Oh, you know, again, that's we'll leave it up to you. Yeah, in the moment, we got supplies for both. So, yeah.
All right, perfect. Thank you, John, for being on, and we'll be back and talk a little bit more about downtown. Welcome back to Rocky's Downtown Hour. We're talking about downtown. Still have John Ackley in the studio with us. We're going to talk about the convention center a little bit because it's coming up, and I know I've talked about it before, but I think I forget the exact schedule, but I know the city commission is the final vote, and they want to have that sometime in March, so sometime over the next month. And I think over the next week or so, people are submitting their final proposals. There's four final spots. And it does go beyond location, but the four locations are, you know, the Civic Center downtown is, we call it that, but it's not revamping the Civic Center. It's rebuilding it completely. So some pictures of that are pretty cool. If you haven't seen them, when the final proposals come in here, you should take a look. Brewhalla is another location, which is actually right next to Brewhalla. It's not tearing down Brewhalla or anything like that, just to clarify. There's another one, again, out by Shields Arena. We have to call them these names because they don't have better names, but it's in the same sort of parking lot structure as Shields Arena. And then same with the Fargo Dome, out on the Fargo Dome property are the four locations that were chosen as finalists, but I don't think they just chose by location. Each of these have a developer associated with them. And so it's really looking at what is the right team, right? You want to have a long-term partnership with the city. Some are proposing, you know, more control by the developer, more control by the city, or different incentives that are involved. You know, I obviously is advocating for the downtown one, of course, because why else would I be here? But, you know, the downtown one kind of revamps the Civic Center quad, that whole area, which is needed. The city is going to have to do that if they pick this location or not. With the moving of the engagement center across the street and the encampment ordinance, kind of freeing up the amazing amenity of the riverfront again. I mean, to me, it's just primed for that. And I guess, you know, since we have John on with us, I think the thing that I value most is on all these proposals, everyone else is saying like, well, yeah, then we'll build an entertainment district around the convention center and we'll find good people to open restaurants around the convention center. So we'll give tourists the best, you know, experience. And to me, I'm like, well, why do you have a downtown with all these unique restaurants and parking ramps are already there, which are very expensive, you know, infrastructure investments. They're already there. It's like we're made, and we have an old building like the Civic Center that needs to be done away with anyways. Like, to me, it seems obvious. Like, that's it's ideal for it. But every place has a pros and cons. And honestly, a convention center is good for downtown. I mean, we've seen that wherever it's at in town, we know majority of those people are still going to end up downtown. And so I'm not kidding myself that if it goes somewhere else, it's still not great for downtown. Convention center is going to be great. But downtown is the only unique location.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that downtown, you said about downtown does already have the pre-existing infrastructure that would support a conference center, but also or a convention center rather. But I think the really important thing that people need to think about is if someone is coming to Fargo for their first and maybe only time, you know, well, what's the experience that we want them to have? You know, and is it a trip from the airport to the Fargo Dome, you know, and then to a hotel two blocks from the Fargo Dome and then back to the airport, or is it, you know, down on 45th Street, or is it downtown Fargo? You know, and I think that the answer there is pretty, you know, pretty clear. I mean, it has to be downtown. I mean, I think that that's just a foregone conclusion in my mind there.
I mean, tourists have already told us where they go. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, why are we trying to defy what the data already shows us? Is if tourists want to go downtown when they come visit here, why are we trying to force tourists to go somewhere else by building that somewhere else? I guess that's how I look at it. But City Commission, and I just want to tell everybody, it's like their elected officials, they are looking for input. They've all been pretty good on this process. They haven't drawn a line in the sand. There's not favorites out there or anything. They're taking this all pretty seriously. And so if you have an opinion, write to your city commissioners. There is a convention center committee, too, that will do a recommending, and there's a couple additional folks on that. So write to everybody until they make their recommendation. But the commission ultimately decides. There's an election in June, but this will be decided before that. So the current commission is the deciders, and I think that's important to let everybody know that. I want to say one thing that doesn't get as much attention as I think it should. When you look around at every convention center in the country, basically, you know, it's not just the property that the convention's on. You want these pedestrians to go out, walk across the street, to go to a restaurant, to go to a cultural thing. You want them to spend money, right? They're tourists. Mm-hmm. So we got to capture that because we're putting money into this as taxpayers. We want to capture that money back into our economy. But that population creates trash, creates litter, creates wear and tear and every other convention center is located within an improvement district because you need to have people on the street that are managing those things. And downtown, between the city commission and the property owners, have voted in already the only established improvement district in the entire state. When you look at what St. Cloud did, they are a convention center we're trying to copy or emulate. They didn't have an improvement district when they put it in, and immediately they said, oh, we don't have the public infrastructure on the street level to manage that much people walking around. And so they had to come to us and emulate our improvement district and do it after the fact. And so I think, you know, the engineers and everything have done a good job looking at, okay, is this the right place to build it? What's underground here? How do you physically build the structure? But we need to sort of like on a, you know, anthropologic look of it or whatever, look at how do you have 1,000 people walking around? And what, is it safe? Do they have intersections they can cross? You know, if you're on 45th Street, are you asking them to cross 45th Street to get to a restaurant? You know, those type of questions. And then if they have trash when they're walking around or litter from their name tags or agendas, like where do they throw them? Are there public trash cans, you know, on other streets, you know, and those sort of things? Benches, seating, public amenities, public art, cultural activities, on down the line, right? Coffee shops, all those things you want that make us unique. And so please reach out. This is part of the public process. We voted in this already. The money's already spent or already planned to be spent. That doesn't change. All that's left is a decision on which of the four get chosen. And I think you can go to YouTube and watch all the previous presentations. They'll have another round here in a week that will be on YouTube on the City of Fargo's webpage. Encourage everybody to do that because this is a big decision for our city. And it's probably the biggest we'll have in a while. And so you should weigh in. It's your chance now. And if you're looking for a place to eat this weekend, there's only one place you should choose. Noble Smokehouse on MP Avenue. Try it out. Let me know how you feel about it. Let John know. John's reachable. He's probably in there while he's watching everybody, yeah, making sure they're having a good time.
So we'll hopefully see you in there, Rocky.
And so what's the menu item they should order if they're first time?
You know, well, that's the thing. Ribs day is different than a brisket day. So, yeah, you got to come in, see how you're feeling, you know, and see what kind of speaks to you in the moment.
Oh, come on. If you're in Fargo for once in your life, and you, this is the what you choose. I love smoked meat.
Well, that's the thing. You can get a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cornbread. I'm going to go with cornbread.
Yeah, we'll do the cornbread.
Cornbread's always
sweet
good.
Sweet corn casserole. That's, yeah.
All right, everybody. Go out and wave at somebody and smile. Be happy. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the spring coming up soon.
Definitely. See you, Rocky.